Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Infinite Potential podcast. Today, we are with Peter Kelly. Peter is an entrepreneur and a huge voice for the millennial generation. She was recently ranked by Inc. magazine in the top 10 female entrepreneurs changing the world. She's recently released her book, Earth is Hiring, which is in alignment with her message of conscious entrepreneurship and unleashing the innate potential in people. Peter, thanks a lot for coming onto the podcast. It's an honor.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, Alex.
Cool. If we can just start out, could you let us know how you got into business? I mean, that's quite an honor. Top 10 female entrepreneurs changing the world. That's quite a big deal. That. How did you get into business and the world of self-development?
Yeah, well, I started, when I first got out of school, I went straight to university and I was doing I did a science degree, another honors degree, and then I was doing a PhD actually. And then I got to about 6 months in and I just had like a reroute. My soul was like, no, it's not, there's something else. So probably one of the most courageous 20 seconds of my life, I leapt out of my PhD and just went traveling around Asia with my friend. And then, long story short, I got introduced to a product which I loved. I was very much passionate about health and wellness, and I got into network marketing, which, you know, if done right and with integrity, is such a conscious, magical business model. A lot of the times it's not done right, which sucks because it gets a bad rap around the world. But for me, it was just such a broad, full of integrity, magical business model and platform. So before I did get into network marketing, though, I always had like a little personal training business on the side, and I was about to get a metabolism machine. So I think it was through my like divine intolerance of being told what to do by a boss, I always knew that I was going to be in business where I could create and be the boss. And that stemmed from me really working since the age of 13, you know, $5 an hour at the bakery, doing letterbox drops, always, always working because I had a single mum of four. So, you know, we're taught to work. We're taught how to work. We had a great work ethic. But so business was always in my soul, I suppose, again, because of I'd been mistreated by so many employers and spoken down to, and it's this divine intolerance, right, that so many of our generation have. So I got into network marketing and I built an amazing organization of young people around the world who were just looking for something else. Like they were looking, what is this new paradigm? Like, how can we have more freedom in our work? How can we have both incredible sense of purpose and thriving abundance and be able to take care of our parents and be able to give abundantly to organizations we care about and be able to explore this world and still generate very effectively in what we want to create and have resources to create epic shit. And so I built an organization of, you know, over 60,000 people, and that was my platform for then progressing into other business and learning about what does this generation really want and care about? What is this new way to live, lead, earn, and give? Like, what are we being asked of? Which is, again, my book, Earth is Hiring. Like, what are we really being asked to do and how are we being asked to live? So I suppose if that answers your question, I was thrust into this network marketing as my platform, but it was really like a university for me to learn about leadership, money, personal growth. I had to grow into the role of a leader very quickly because all of a sudden I had all these people, like tens of thousands of young people, like looking to me, how do we earn money? What does conscious money mean? Yeah. What does it mean to have a vision? And how do you help other people be successful? And so it was this like constant crash course. And then I evolved onto what I do now, which, you know, and I still have a thriving network marketing business. I still serve that particular company in a new role. But it led me to really be able to create in so many other ways unhindered by a lack of resources. So I had built a very abundant income so that I could use that to create and serve my generation, whether it be events, programs, books, other crazy collaborations, and just just be an effortless creator, really. So
yeah, I think when you've said effortless there right at the end, I think that's something that I'm trying to, because I do a bit of business coaching, I'm trying to bring that more into younger entrepreneurs, as it were, because like the, you know, Gary V, big inspiration to a lot of people, and I do buy a lot of what Gary V says, but he's very hustle and grind, very intense.
Yeah.
But I think, I mean, I can only speak for myself, and the way I've sort of done things is that I sort of allow life to flow through rather than fight against. And I'm trying to bring that and make people more aware of that. Do you buy into that model, or the more hustle and grind, or a mixture of the two?
I think, again, everybody has their sweet spot. And I think when we evolve personally, we will go through a mixture of the two. So I was very, I mean, when I was building my first business, I was very, I was very effortlessly in my masculine energy and getting shit done, 16-hour days. You know, I didn't have a child then. I wasn't married and just had a lot of time, and it felt right. And it was necessary for my vision at that time. So people ask me all the time, like, when you look back at how hard you worked, you regret it? And absolutely not. You know, my vision, that's what my vision was asking from me then. And it was conducive to my lifestyle then, to be honest. Like, it was fine. It was easy. It was perfect. And I couldn't have learned an appreciation for more effortless business if I hadn't have experienced that. So I then, you know, and I'm very open about the fact that, I did have some burnout a couple of times because I'm such an extremist, you know, and when you're passionate, it just happens. But over time I started to, and as I grew spiritually, personally, and all of this stuff that happens to us in our 20s, I started to appreciate and value and to know in myself that you can do both thrive and generate. And a lot of the time what I feel now is my businesses thrive more when I thrive more. So although I can honor and appreciate that the hustle and the grind is for some people, because perhaps, to be honest, some people are very lazy and they need just that hardcore motivation.
Yeah.
But other people who've perhaps been there or done that, or perhaps who do have children and relationship and other things, and perhaps, you know, we're all being asked really to be more in our feminine energy and to bring that more into our business. There is so much potential to let it be effortless and still generate very effectively and powerfully. And that is a possibility now in this new time. And so it really is a choice, and it really is, where are we personally on our own evolution? What's important to us? Like, for me, I have a daughter, she's 9 months old. I have a husband. I want to have time in my day to read. I want to enjoy nature, but I still want to create epic shit, and I can do both. So it all comes down to that choice and where we are in our lives. So I can identify with both, but right now in my life, I don't identify with a hustle and grind, because I'm choosing something that's more rewarding for my whole life, not just my business life.
Yeah, I'll buy that, yeah. So how important do you think that the stories that we tell ourselves are in relationship to how we succeed or perceive success? How important a role is the stories that we tell ourselves?
Mm-hmm. Stories are everything. You know, our stories are, I would say, our energetic instruction to the world. So life is literally responding to the stories we are telling about it. So life is responding to the stories we are telling about our business. Life is responding to the stories we're telling about money. Life is responding to the stories we're telling about pregnancy, birth, relationship, eating, food, politics. The stories we are telling is literally giving life to life, and life is giving us evidence that that's a true story. So when I'm doing work with people, whether it's about money, and money is a big one. It's the stories we are telling about money. People don't realize that they have very often inherited the stories from their parents, their grandparents, their family, or they're borrowing stories from the collective. And these stories aren't rewarding for what they want to see in their life in relationship to money. And same goes for business. Well, I have to do X, Y, and Z to be successful. Well, then your business is going to show you evidence of that. And you are going to have to do X, Y, and Z to be successful. But if your story is, I can thrive in my life, breathe deeply in my days, and still generate a phenomenally abundant and impactful business, then life is going to give you evidence of that, and that's going to be your reality. So whatever it is, whether it's money, whether it's business, you can literally rewrite your story and life will respond to that new story. And I'm very big on scripting. So literally writing your stories out in the morning and the evening and reading it morning, night, morning, night, morning, night until you are embodying a new story about business, life, relationship, pregnancy, whatever it is. Yeah. Because life is literally on your instruction.
Yeah, we don't get taught that, do we? We don't get shown that as we're growing up or nothing. It's something that you sort of pick up in your 20s. That's what happened with me. And you sort of, you can create your reality rather than it's just happening to you. Yeah. Yeah, good stuff. I put down a quote that I heard from yourself. It was, if you measured success by how it felt rather than what it looked like, how would it feel? And I think that's you said that at an event for your MLM company, I think. Mm-hmm. That touched something, because I've never actually heard it worded like that. Where does that come from in you? Because that's quite to the heart. I like that.
Yeah. I think it's, again, from me and my own journey, growing a seven-figure business, and I grew a seven-figure business and I still didn't feel successful. Everyone was like, well, you're in your mid-20s, millionaire, so successful. And yet sometimes when I was going to bed at night, I was feeling unfulfilled. And I would say to my husband, like, who's now my husband, I don't feel fulfilled. And he was like, that's crazy. You know, like, it's crazy how you were doing all this, inspiring all these people, rah, 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 creating this stuff, but you're not feeling fulfilled. And it was because I was navigating this journey from success and what it looks like to success and how it feels. And I learned, again, we all have to learn this our own way, but I learned that no matter how successful I was on the outside, it didn't mean anything if I wasn't successful on the inside and I wasn't feeling how I wanted to feel every day and I wasn't feeling how I wanted to feel when my head hit the pillow. And if I didn't have time to read my book in the afternoon, or if I didn't, you know, if I was getting on airplanes so much that I didn't even get to feel grounded in my home, and, you know, just letting success out there take a hold of me, rather than stopping and being like, hold on a minute, like, what does my soul actually give a shit about? Like, do I really care about, and I had so many times where I was tested. Like, one time I was emailed and asked to speak with John Maxwell. And I was like, oh, that sounds so amazing. I love John Maxwell. We all do. You know, he's like amazing in the world of leadership, but my soul was like, no, you need to stay home for the month of September and not get on a plane. So it was times like that where I checked in and I was like, what is success to me in this decision? Success to me is feeling grounded and like I can breathe and I can take a pause. Success to me is not the exposure and the bigness that may come from that speaking event. So, you know, that was an example of times where I've had to check in, is what does success feel like to me right now? And success often to me would feel like the pause and the breath and the just taking some time. When we're measuring success from what it looks like, often we'll say yes to things which take us away from our true soul success. And just because it looks big and successful, and other people will say it's successful, and our soul's really like, I don't give a shit if you get another 10,000 followers. I don't give a shit if you earn another 100K. I don't give a shit about this. Like, I give a shit that you breathe today and that you chew your food and that you read a book in the afternoon and that you enjoy nature. And so when we can check in and be like, what do I most want to feel so good when I go to bed tonight? A lot of the time it's not what we think it is, but sometimes it is. Sometimes it is speak at the event, get on the podcast, rah, rah, rah. But we really have to get brutally honest with ourselves about what that means. And to be honest, we can't really compare our success with anyone else because nobody knows what it feels like but us, you know?
Yeah. I think it takes a lot of courage for people to actually take that step into following purpose and passion. Mm-hmm. Society, especially in the West, it doesn't tell people to follow purposes or follow passions. It encourages people to, if you've read Rich Dad Poor Dad and those books, you just go to school, get a job and all that stuff. Like, what do you think a key skill is for people that are looking to take the leap from normality, for the lack of a better term, into a conscious entrepreneurship?
Say that question again.
Oh, I forgot it now. Something like,
to take the leap from go, 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 go into... Yeah.
conscious,
aligned entrepreneurship.
Basically, yeah. What is the key aspect, do you think, or the attribute of a person?
Yeah. I think firstly, trusting your guidance is so important, so underrated, right? Because guidance is invisible. People are like, well, how do you know? Like, often I make business decisions and I can't explain them any other way than because I just know this is my guidance. I sent an email today actually to my event planner. I said, hey, this huge event we're planning in November this year, I was guided yesterday to scrap it this year. And that's pretty much all the explanation I have. But that's how I've learned to do business. And so that's now. But in order to take the leap from, you know, go to school, everything, and then entrepreneurship, creating, being guided, living by alignment, I think first it takes courage. It does. It takes courage because it is the unknown. But you sort of have to fall in love with that and remember that courage always comes before confidence and flow. Courage is like, I suppose, like the key that you put in the door. And people, I think, often don't take the leap because they think it should be feeling really easy and clear at the beginning. And you're really just being asked to trust whatever it is you're being called to create. So if you really check in with yourself, like, this is what I really want to do in the world. This is what I really want to create. This is the book I want to write. This is the podcast I want to have. You've got to really trust that, even though it's invisible compared to the guidance you're getting in the book, which is visible. So you've got to trust your soul, and you've got to trust that when you're having this guidance that is exciting you more than anything else in the world, like, you can implicitly trust your excitement. And this doesn't mean be completely irresponsible and like cut off your job. Sometimes you have to keep your job and pursue your passion at the same time. Like, you don't want to stress yourself out financially. But it doesn't mean ignore your excitement. Like, do what feels good for you. Listen to your guidance. Your guidance will tell you, like, okay, keep this job for XYZ and then start this in the evenings and grow it to the point where perhaps you might want to transition from your job to this new project, to this new business. So it's about trusting your guidance. Remember that the courage is normal. Like, feeling scared is normal, but trust the excitement more than you're trusting the fear, and support yourself in the transition. Like I said, keep, if it's important to you that you have the steady income coming in, which for most people it is, just keep it. Don't feel like you have to choose one or the other. Transition at a pace which feels good for you and your life. Don't feel like you have to be so polarized, you know, this or that. But don't ignore the exciting things that are calling you, because excitement is like all the evidence we really need. And it's like the greatest GPS that we have.
Yeah. We've been sort of moved away from that though, haven't we? Especially as a masculine energy, don't sort of trust intuition. I think women are a bit more in tune with that, and they're with the bears and whatever. But you seem quite spiritually enlightened. Where did that start? Where did that path lead, go to and from? And
again, when I started in network marketing, I was literally like, I was like being asked to lead very quickly. That I was like, okay, I need to grow into this person that I need to be to lead these young people who are looking to me for what leadership and business and everything means. So I listened to Earl Nightingale, The Stranger's Secret, in the car, I reckon like 200, 300 times, until it was like infused in my head and I could recite it word by word. And that was all about The Stranger's Secret. And that was probably like 2011, 2012 when I started to, and I always knew it. I was always like low key hippie, but sometimes party girl, you know, but it started to become so intriguing for me. So then it led me to everything, you know, Abraham Hicks, exploring, you know, Buddhism, I could not even describe all the things I've explored. It is like a wormhole, right? But just unraveling until I found my truth. But again, the spiritual development was so much a part of the personal development. It was like one in the same. A lot of the work I've done around business has been energy. It's just everything is energy, right? It's not, I read a lot of books. I've done the very mechanical masculine work around money and leadership and business. But I've also done a lot of energetic spiritual soulful work, because I just feel like their one. And everybody will go on a different path with that. I've done plant medicines and Oneness University and just so much energy work that some people will never do. Some people want to go the more religious path. It just doesn't matter. It's constantly being curious, constantly just being open to where we're meant to grow and learn. And it's so different for everyone. But yeah, I have been on a pretty wild, fun, revealing spiritual journey, which is just perfect for everyone, whatever that looks like.
It is. You mentioned plant medicine. Mm-hmm. Is it ayahuasca? What was it?
Yeah, ayahuasca and cacao.
Right. Can you talk about that or can you not talk about that?
Yeah, I can talk about it. It's in my book. I talk about it in my book.
Oh, okay. Okay, cool.
Yeah. So, I mean, I have a lot of mentors, and one of my greatest mentors is the earth, right? You know, like there's no greater mentor than Mother Earth, if you really think about it. Like there's really no greater badass than her. So when I think about taking guidance from her, and again, that might sound super woo-woo to some people, but whatever. It's just sometimes if you ever just need an example of how to live or lead or create, it's just look, just watch what she does, right? And we talk about effortlessness in business. Effortlessness, when I think about Mother Nature, she's so effortless and not lazy at all. And you can be super effortless, super powerful, and get so much done while not being lazy. And so when I think about how I want to be in business, it's so much like Mother Nature is for us. So naturally for me, I do love taking guidance and counsel from plant medicines like cacao and ayahuasca, which more so cacao. Cacao is like my daily ceremony, and on occasion ayahuasca, which is a lot deeper and profound and a lot bigger a thing. And again, you know, people listening, I'm not saying everybody should go and do it. It's very much a calling or a guidance. It was right for me. But everybody, again, this spirituality all comes down to your own guidance. I don't think there's any prescription or anything like that, which is why I never prescribe. Like I never tell people go and do it. It's not about me. It's between you and your soul and your journey. And I can't tell you a single thing to do on that path. And so again, for me, I felt called to sit with ayahuasca, and daily I sit with cacao. Cacao is more like a socially accepted, daily, softer, but very powerful plant, which connects us to our heart and opens the tap for creativity. Basically, I have cacao and I just create epic shit. Like my whole book was written while sitting with cacao. You know what I mean? It's just
nice.
These plants have so much power. And again, that's another thing we're taught. So just to sum that up, I'm not prescribing anybody does.
No, of course.
Ayahuasca. Yeah, yeah. Cacao, probably something I could encourage everybody to have. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't know what it's like. Where are you in America? Or are you in Australia?
I'm in America right now. I live between the two. I just got back from Bondi Beach and now I'm in Arizona.
You've got a funky accent between mixed.
I know. I know. It's messed up. I'm Australian. Like I'm full on Australian. I live there. Like I'm 29 now. I live there like 27 of my years. It's crazy how quickly this American thing comes into your voice. It's crazy.
Over here, we've just started. It's sort of becoming a bit of a trend that we're microdosing on LSD for creativity.
Really? Wow.
Is that over there? Is that happening over there? You don't know.
I haven't heard about it, but it's,
again, Steve Jobs. Yeah. Who knows?
There's so much taboo around it. I feel like it's like lightening up. I feel like, especially like the legalization of marijuana. Marijuana's not my thing, but again, zero judgment. That's why I think we're moving to, I feel like, and maybe it's just us because we're surrounded by people who are thinking like us. I feel like the judgment is lifting, and I feel like plants are very much like roaring back and demanding that they have a place because they are medicine in so many ways, and they've been excluded and made wrong, and sometimes people abuse them, and that's very fair that they've been made wrong. But now's the time where we're being asked to like lighten up and open up and stop being so judgmental and listen to nature.
Yeah. Well, they've got the intelligence in them that we have, haven't they? Otherwise, they wouldn't be part of the nature as we are. So
no, exactly.
Something to it. What's your morning routine like? Do you have anything? Because you, as a successful businesswoman, do you have routines and rituals? I know you've had a young baby now, so it might have changed recently. Mm.
Yeah, it's definitely changed, but I still, every morning I'll move, you know, even as with Sol, I'll take it for a walk. Just moving is just so important for circulating energy, right? Circulating energy through our bodies. It's just, especially if you're an entrepreneur who's sitting a lot, all the time you'll find that you're stuck creatively because, you know, it's not moving enough. So moving, and then I'll always have a ceremony of some kind. And when I say ceremony, it could literally be sitting down with my computer and writing with cacao, some music on, something which is basically honoring myself as like, what am I here to do? Checking in, getting on the same page as life. And whether that's sitting in meditation or whether that's creating, whether it's sometimes it's just answering emails, to be honest, but it's just checking in with, it's having that time where I am connecting to myself, getting on the same page of life, same page as life, listening to what's being asked of me, and creating. And every day I have cacao, and that's the process there. And even with a child, I still, again, I'm very blessed. I have a nanny when I need her, or my mom will, you know, be traveling with us. So that time of day for me is always carved out. And it's important for me that my child sees that, right? Because I don't want, you know, I want her to see a thriving mom who can be potently present with her, but still honoring myself as a woman and as a creator. So that's my morning. It's usually moving and then like breakfast with Sol, playing with her, you know, having that mom and daughter time, and then ceremony, which then leads into my creative work. And that time is just blocked off. And then time is Sol blocked off, creating time blocked off. And just every day there has to be some creating. Otherwise it's just, so you know what it's like, it's too many downloads, can't handle them. You've got to get it out.
Just stuff.
Yeah.
Too much stuff, too much noise going on a lot of the time. It just needs mm-hmm. to be shut off and getting able to create. Yeah, I'll buy that. Have you noticed that there's a big shift, like an energy shift and an awareness shift? That's just, I don't know whether it was a gradual thing or just all of a sudden, and it just sort of mm-hmm. happened where people become more conscious of what was going on in the world.
Yeah, it's happening very fast. It's like a quickening. You know, some people talk about it in the term of 3D, 4D, 5D. You know, the 5D, fifth dimension is calling us, and right now we're in 4D where we can choose. That might seem like, whoa, for some people, or it could just be, right, you know, we're evolving. You know, I've heard it described sometimes as like the concrete is like cracking, so the flower can now emerge through the middle of the concrete.
It's a good metaphor.
Yeah, we're just, I think we are. We're evolution is doing its thing, you know, and I talk about it in my book, like why are millennials so different to the generation before us? Because evolution, like why is my child, I look at her and I'm like, she is so clever, so in tune, like I'm in awe of her. And I know that she's made of stuff that I am not made of. Like every generation gets a genetic upgrade. And it's because evolution is asking us, like the earth is asking us to do things differently. And the only way things can be done differently, the only way any change can happen on earth is if we are living more from the heart and upgrading our collective consciousness. So yeah, people are waking up because the earth is like demanding that. And God is universe, source, spirit is gifting us different equipment so that we can care more, be more aware and more awake and more conscious. So it's just like this divine process, and it's sometimes dark, sometimes it's light, sometimes it's joyful, sometimes it's hard. It's all the same, but it's waking us up so that we can be of more service to the earth and be a more thriving collective. Mm-hmm. Which is the goal, really. Like some people seem to think or feel, and it may be true for them, that we are here to like suffer and struggle and it's all about the healing. But you know, I believe that we're here to thrive and, you know, smile and laugh and play. And that's as much of our evolution as the healing is, you know?
Mm. Do you think that I don't know what's out of there, but the news at the moment, it's all Donald Trump's about to drop and all this nonsense, the big stage plays playing out as it does.
Yeah.
Do you think we need to go through that in order to get through the other side?
Yeah, that's why I think there's so much, like, I have personally never been more proud of, like, humanity than I am right now. Like, you look at all of these things that are going on, like the Me Too movement, just, like, it's so much happening right now. There's so much light, like, coming from the dark that I'm just so proud. Every time I see, like, the Me Too or something, I'm just so proud of how humans are, like, upgrading and just evolving and just so many things. Like, I know it seems pretty, even in the world of, like, like Donald Trump, I try not to give too much energy to that, but I know that it's all perfect for evolution. You know, like, yes, last night I just donated money to Syrian women and children because it's all still one. It's just one world, and it's all inviting us to respond. And it's all this tension because it's inviting this new consciousness, and we're already seeing it emerging. Like, we're seeing so much epic conscious enterprise, you know, love fueled movements. And so I like to focus on that. And that's where my focus is on giving props to humanity and focus on never ignoring, like, the hard, rough shit, but everybody has different work in this world. And that's where my focus is. It's just on, look how amazing everybody is doing, even though there is so much tension, so much heartbreak, you know, so much just pain. Look at all the ways people are coming together. And that's what I believe Donald Trump was here to do. Like, the reason he got in, everybody was like, oh my God, like, this is crazy. Especially me being in Australia, like, it might be similar in the UK, but in Australia, it's like, politics is very different, right? It's not this big, big circus sort of show, but I was like, and everyone in Australia was asking me, like, is that a joke in America? Like, is that really happening? And you got to sort of just realize that nothing is a mistake. Why is someone as confronting as Donald Trump in power right now? And again, some people love him, so all good, whatever. But I believe it's because he has sparked in people more accountability and responsibility than ever before and fueled something in them. So you're seeing all these marches, you're seeing all these movements, they're all, so we've got to honor the good that is coming from this tension.
Yeah.
And even though there is still so much, you know, hardship in the world, there's so much good, like, more good than people ever would actually want to admit.
Yeah, I heard a good quote before from one of my mentors, Peter Sage's name, and he said, you can stand in a rainforest and you can choose to look at the snake ripping a bunny rabbit apart or look at the bird's eggs hatching. It's up to you.
Yeah.
And that was a great metaphor to put across. I just think with Donald Trump, it's like America staring itself in the face.
Yeah.
Look at yourself, sort of thing. Yeah. That's how I've seen Donald Trump. And I think there's good and bad in everything, the polarity that's there. But essentially, it depends how deep you want to go. It's God expressing itself.
Yeah.
Depending on how far you want to go. You might lose a few people and whatever, I get that. What about your future? Where are you looking at going? What's the big vision?
Oh, you know what? It's crazy because I've been asked this recently. My video editor was like, tell me your big vision. And, you know, I was like, you know what? For the last 6 years, I've always had a big vision. And right now, all I want to do is focus on the how of everything, like the how I'm creating, how I'm living. Because to me, my greatest work in the world right now is my vibration and how I'm feeling and what I'm gifting to the world energetically, rather than try and be so big and bold all the time. Right now, I am focusing on getting as aligned and feeling as good as I can and serving and creating from there, and just on guidance, humbling myself, being the vessel and creating what I want to create and serving where I'm called to serve, and just being that light and lightening up like that. And in, you know, that doesn't mean like I'm against big, bold visions. I've always had big, bold visions to, like, you know, completely revolutionize as the way our generation does business and talks about money and like all this stuff. But for for now, like for an example, some things I'm working on is a new company called the Earth Escrow, which is very much about bringing ceremony and the ancient to the high performing, like the high performance, you know, entrepreneurs and creatives.
Would that be shamanism?
And bridging that together. Yes, everything, like shamanism and spirituality and indigenous ways, whether it's indigenous Australian, Native American, Maori, like bringing in that ancient wisdom and giving it to the people who are like creating and generating right now in the new, like bridging all the new. So that's like my work right now.
What's and my that vision for that called? Is
just, it's called the Earthess Co. Right. Earthess, the Earthess, like Earth Goddess, but it's new, the okay. modern version essentially. Yeah. So the Earthess Co. is what I'm building right now. And I, in business for me, it's all about working with what I call chief entities, like a boss in the sky. And you read that in the book. It's about what's the boss in the sky asking me to do. And the Earthess Co. is an entity who tapped me on the shoulder and was like, hey, birth me. This is what I need to be in the world right now. So I'm literally just taking guidance right now. What do you want me to create? What do you want me to do? And it's downloading thick and fast, you know, like build this, create this, 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 this. So I'm just taking guidance. And so right now that's my vision is firstly, my number one job all the time is how can I always be honoring my alignment and honoring my vibration and just taking care of my energetic frequency, be a super potent mom and a generator and live in my sweet spot of that. But also honor this, be like a humble creator and a humble receiver of these entities that are working through me. So right now it's the Earthess Co., which is just up to some crazy, amazing stuff. And I'm just having fun taking guidance. And so that's my vision for right now is that bridging the old and the new and bringing the ancient to the new and to keep having fun with it. And for my legacy to be not so much in the what I'm creating, but in the how I'm creating it. And because I feel like that's our next level there is like not what, but how, like how, you know, so that's what I'm big on right now.
It's a great reply. Goal setting. What have you got your own, when you teach people, have you got any set
Yeah. So it's funny because I just pulled out like 15 or 17 notebooks from when I was 20, like 24. I'm 29 now. So the last like 6 years of notes and every single day, like right now, I was trying to dig yesterday, like what are my goals? What are my goals? What are my goals? I don't actually really have any. It's like I'm trying to pull them out of my ass. I'm like, yeah, I've written this book. Do I really want to go on Oprah or do I just want to go on Oprah because like I should go on Oprah because other people do. So it's like we go through times in our lives where we have very clear goals and we go through times in our lives when we're quite happy just to like move in the direction and move and take guidance and move in that direction. And I've been in both. So looking through my old notebooks, I'm finding, you know, I was very, very goal driven from building up like my 7-figure business. And it was at every point there was goals and every single morning I would write and I would draw a circle and I would write, I have, and I would list my goals. And then I would draw, like literally grab a pen and draw the energy coming into my goals. And I had like this energy circle. That's how I would set goals every day. Affirmations, intentions, like every morning was a very, like a 30 minute process of just very embodying what I wanted. As I evolved, I started scripting. So scripting, like I was telling you before, is like writing a movie script of my life, how I would like it to go now. Like whether it's business, I did it for my pregnancy, my birth, every, you know, motherhood, everything just in present tense. So that was my way of sort of instructing life, a bit less rigid than goals, but still instructing how I wanted everything to feel, you know, so this, you know, I am thriving and this and that. My business feels so good. Everything is happening so effortlessly. And now I'm at the point where I'm about to redo my script because I'm at that point where I'm like very careful not to put down like bullshit goals or goals that are not real just because I feel like I should have them. Like I feel like sometimes it's the time for goals. Sometimes it's the time for just direction and listening and not throwing down things just because you should, because sometimes that actually takes you away from your alignment. So that's where I'm at right now is just, okay, I'm taking guidance. what do I really want? And if I don't have anything like hardcore, like, you know, super specific, I'll just focus on how I want things to feel. How do I want this business to feel? How do I want, what is my next team member? How do I want them to feel when I track them? And just, but then within the EarthEstCo, for instance, we're setting goals or deadlines around, okay, we're going to launch this by this date. We're going to launch this by this date. But even within that, lacing a lot of the feeling through it. Like if that feels too rushed and we're anti-rushing, if that feels too rushed, then it, our number one goal is how it feels. It feels light. It feels effortless. It feels spacious. It feels fun. It feels joyful. Things are just so easy coming to us. You know, it's, so it's that first, but still within that, you can still, like, we still plan. You know, it's business. You've got to fuse the masculine and the feminine. You still plan, still have goals in terms of dates and deadlines, but never at the mercy of how we want it to feel. And that's the most important thing. So even whether it's my personal, whether it's the business, it's, you know, fusing the masculine element of planning, which is important. Planning is inspired action, you know. It's, but with the feminine of allowing a lot of room for surprise, things that are coming that we didn't know, pleasant surprise, which we always ask for, pivots, allowing the guidance to always guide us while being like, okay, well, what's going to be our masculine plan? Like, how are we going to put this together while still staying super open and super light and super in the fun of it? So that's, hope that answers the question. There's a lot in there.
It's a good answer. Yeah. Who would you consider your biggest influences?
Mm-hmm. My mom, single mom of four children. My dad was still in the picture too. I love my dad, but my mom raised the four of us, just full-time school teacher, most selfless woman ever. Slept on the couch for a little while because we, five of us in a three-bedroom house, sold cars. And we all played like elite soccer, so she'd have to sell cars so we could travel the world. Just the most selfless, like, superhero on the planet. And it was one of my goals when I got into network marketing to retire her from a 40-year career, and we did that. My brother and I did that, which is just the best. And just now she gets to, like, have a breath, you know what I mean, from so long of just go, being the most selfless person. She still is, but just go. And that was one of my dreams. And so it's just so special that she's now feeling relaxed. So her, definitely. I definitely got her work ethic. Like, it's no excuses. And what you want to do, you do. You do what you got to do. My mentor, Victor, he's been my mentor since I was earning $500 a week and still is my mentor today. And going through my notebooks, I have so many notes from all the energetic processes we did together. But one of the things he always did for me was help me expand my abundance by always increasing what I paid him to stretch myself so that I could grow into new abundance. So it started off $150 an hour. Then it went to $500 an hour. Then it went to $1,000 an hour. And so he was always expanding my cycle of abundance and teaching me how to circulate great amounts of money, not just telling me, but showing me. So as, you know, my abundance was growing, but we're always talking about circulating it, sending this money to India, rah, just amazing stuff like that. So him and my mum, I'd say, would be two of the greatest. My best friend, actually, Mackenzie, she's someone who's come into my life the last couple of years. And she is one of the greatest entrepreneurs in terms of conscious entrepreneurs to me. And she's joining me on my book tour. And she's just amazing how she leads with such alignment and how she creates like beastie, like multi-million dollar companies, but purely from the new way and this taking guidance and fierce alignment. Like, she went on, and she'll tell this, she tells this story, but she went on Shark Tank. She got an offer from Mark Cuban. And she went away and they did their due diligence on her company, but she also did her due diligence and she met up with Mark Cuban and she realized that his vision for her entity, her company, which is a dessert hummus company, was not the same as hers. So she walked away from that $600,000 deal, which hardly any entrepreneurs would do, right? Like, Mark Cuban, he's a legend. And with complete respect to him, like, she said, he's amazing, but just the visions weren't aligning. So she walked away from that the very next day found the investment from one of the current investors who were aligned with her vision. So she really walks the walk in terms of being aligned and honoring the real vision of your company, and not just being tempted by success on the outside. And she's in 3,000 stores now, her product, you know? So her, and she's just my best friend too. But if you or any of your people come to our London tour, which is in June this year, you'll get to hear her talk about that. But her, I think Osho is just one of, I just love Osho. I could probably think of tons of other books as well, but just off the top of my head, those three, I'd say.
Yeah, cool. Well, we're out of time. Where can people find you? This is the book, Earth is Hiring. Where can people find you, get in touch with you and everything else?
Social media, Instagram is probably the best. Instagram, Facebook, I'm on a little less often, I think.
That's a dying breed, I think.
Yeah, it is. I almost deleted it yesterday, and we have a Facebook group for the Earth Esco, so I couldn't, but I'm thinking of transferring that group over to an app, because I'm just like, oh, Facebook's just
breaking
my balls. But
well in it at the moment.
Yeah. So I think. So Instagram or peterkelly.com. Everything for the book tour, if people want to come to London, is on earthishiring.com.
Cool. Peter, thanks a lot for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thanks so much, Alex, for having me.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.